All right. Yes. I am back on my green light grind, oblivious to red lights and stop signs. I'm colorblind. The cold climate of my city tends to have me inclined to drive slow, so I burn rubber in summertime. Summertime, I grind slow to savor the flavor, the taste of victory sitting sweet on my tongue, and I'm so
back in the cold, baby. So, back in the cold, baby. Back in the cold, baby. Back in the cold.
Welcome to the Old Man Wade Show. I am your host, the God of Stubborn, the Lord of Laughter, Old Man Wade. I'm here with the pinnacle of political perfection, the superior Super Bowl Coffee.
What up, everybody?
And also here is the second to
final boss.
The second to final boss, Brandon Horton.
The final boss.
Second to final boss. You. Second to final boss.
Wow.
And I think that's more respectful because I swear in most video games, the final boss is almost never the most difficult. Sagat was more difficult than Bison. When you was playing Street Fighter, The dude with the machine, the ninja dude was more difficult than the dude with the machine gun. It's always the second to final boss that's the most difficult. It's never
Shokan is definitely more difficult than what was it? Was it Goro?
Goro was one of them. Kintaro was the second one. Yeah. Kintaro was way more difficult than Shao Kahn.
Hell no. Shao Kahn, they put his fucking health on a zillion. You had to hit that dude like 8,000 times.
Yeah, bro. That joint, that health meter was not, and that was on easy mode, bro.
He used to just block stuff and laugh at you.
Yeah, that's when you hit him. Let me tell you, that Javi's lying, because first off, he ain't never played a game on easy mode.
Yeah, that's true.
Dude, never played none on me. So how y'all doing?
I'm great.
I'm cooling, man. Can't complain.
My power's out.
Watching a lot of TV.
Yeah. I just started
Fallout.
Just finished Fallout, which was friggin' like Fallout. Honestly.
Did you finish it, old man?
Me and Valkyrie finished it a couple days ago. It was fantastic.
Yeah, Fallout was great. I'm starting on Monarch, King of the Monsters finally.
Yeah, thank you. About time.
Yeah, I'm on episode 2, and that joint is, Brandon, you're right. That joint is fire, bro.
It's the best one they've done because they actually made the people interesting.
Yeah.
When you watch the movies, you don't give a fuck about the people. You're like, get these people off my fucking screen. I want to see Godzilla. I want to see King Kong.
No, but this one's definitely like the humans are definitely like the showcase of this show.
And the girl is the same girl that's on Shogun. By the way.
I was like, she's familiar. I'm like,
yes.
And the black girl, May, she looks familiar too. I'm trying to figure out what she's in.
Yeah, she played Iris West in The Flash.
Yes.
Kirstie Clemens.
Yep.
We had to take a quick pause because Javi had some business.
Because I'm an asshole.
Nah, because you got some business to attend to, which I completely understand. So, as always, we're going to start this off with a quiz. And this, so you guys got to be quick and give you guys 10 seconds to answer. No more than that. Ready?
Shoot.
What comic book did Sabretooth make his first appearance? Was it Wolverine, Avengers, Iron Fist, X-Men, or Uncanny X-Men?
Damn. You had to have the multiple X-Men, didn't you? Brandon, you first, bro.
Uncanny X-Men.
Javier?
I feel like it's not obvious. Like, I don't know the answer, but I feel like it's one of those, like, oh, he was, like, Wolverine's first appearance was, like, in the Hulk or something. Like, I think, I don't know. Avengers. Shit.
Its first appearance was actually in an Iron Fist comic book.
That's crazy. I knew it would be some random shit like that.
Yeah. That's the reason I threw X-Men and Uncanny X-Men in there, because I figured you guys would be like, oh, what the fuck?
No, but the thing is, people don't realize, like, a lot of, like, characters debut in different comic books, and they just get popular, or they're used in a different storyline with another group of characters, and they just get locked in.
Yeah, it's like you said. It's like, when Wolverine appeared in the Hulk.
Yeah.
As always, I got a couple of fun little lists for you. This one of them is near and dear to both of y'all, because I can't wait to hear you gotta react. And the second one I came up on the fly last night. The first one, comic book characters that would have a scandal. Brandon, I'm pretty sure you can guess who's number one on our list, on this list.
Beast.
Yes. Number one on the list is Hank McCoy.
I need to leave my boy alone, bro. He's on a redemption tour right now, bro.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got 70s. They got 70s and 80s beats back.
Yo, for real.
Number two.
He ain't gray. I'll trust Beast when he go back to being gray.
Beast ain't been, well, he was a dick then too.
Yeah, but at least I could trust him.
The only time he really wasn't a dick was when he was a white boy. Like Drake.
Which is hilarious when you get to my next list. Number two, Warren Worthington III.
Yeah, he's a billionaire. He's definitely gonna have some like weird ass scandals.
No, but I feel like Angel is the type of billionaire that just stay to himself. Like he don't really be fucking with nobody in the books unless he's Archangel. That Archangel would have a scandal.
That's why I wish they kept what was it X-Men Inc. What was it called?
X-Corp.
There you go. Yeah, that's why I wish, you know, we need more stories about mutant billionaires.
The art in that book was awful though.
Yeah, that was you know what's funny, because the cover art was a 10 out of 10.
Monet was like pink.
Yeah, it was weird. But it was it been like towards like the end of the series, which it didn't last long. I think the last couple of issues it got better, but I wonder if the art was really took people out of it, because it was a fantastic book. I got Tony Stark next on the list.
Tony Stark would absolutely be in many scandals in real life. Many, many.
Shit, he already had that one where he was photographed with MJ going into Avengers Tower, and it was like, is Tony Stark sleeping with a married woman? And I was like, then Tony Stark.
Do people know MJ's married in the world?
At that time, yeah. Because because he was public. It was Peter, and like she was a supermodel, and this was before the whole Mephisto thing.
Oh, okay.
So she was a supermodel and an actress. They knew.
Okay.
Batman is on this list. Not Bruce Wayne, Batman.
It depends what you mean by scandal.
Tell me you couldn't see him like superhero vigilante with teenage boys. What's he up to?
I don't think people know that the Robins are teenagers.
Dog, you've seen Robin. Like, there's no way they didn't know that.
Well, Damian, yeah. Damian looks young. But, like, Dick and Tim, they looked like, and Jason, they could have been 18, 19. They could have been young men.
Dick Grayson, original Dick Grayson looked young. Tim Drake looked young. Jason, maybe.
Yeah, first Jason did look kind of young. That's true.
Last on this list, Emma Frost. And only because I feel like they would think the Hellfire Club was a brothel, which it kind of was.
They would think it's a cabal, which it also is.
Yeah.
The Illuminati.
Is the Hellfire Club really the birthplace of the Illuminati? Are mutants involved? Like shit like that.
Did they know the Hellfire Clubs were mutants though originally? I don't think they knew they were mutants originally.
Oh, they wouldn't, but they'd make speculations. Tell me you couldn't see Fox News running that Hellfire. Because
I think Emma was just a bad bitch. And so that's how people just viewed her originally.
I think so, but you couldn't what the hell's his name?
No, I think Fox News would be on their side. You're tripping.
Oh,
the Hellfire Club, they would be big on the Fox News.
Because they probably have all the dirt.
They're rich. They're dirt rich. They don't give a fuck. All white. Yes, that would be Fox News's baby.
Yo, can you picture Alex Jones on there? He's like, the Hellfire Club's a great place. No mutants in the Hellfire Club. The outstanding people.
Yes, that's exactly what it would be.
Fucking red in the face. I wish Javi was here for this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And I'll comic book characters that would apologize during a rap beef.
No, save this for Javi.
Save that for Javi?
Save that for Javi, because I got to get his... I need to hear him. Save that one for him.
Oh, yeah, because I wrote that one last night on the fly. I was like, yo, I got to do this right now. So we actually did your show about this, but I really want to talk about... I want to talk about it on ours, and I kind of feel like we need to wait on Javi for the X-Men 97 stuff, but I kind of got to... We have to talk about it, and we can talk about that and the transition from tomorrow's episode. No, tomorrow, Thursday's. Tomorrow was it? Wednesday's episode, right?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tomorrow's episode. Well, it'll come out tonight. So tomorrow's episode, and I can't wait to talk about this. The Genosha shit was, I went back and rewatched it with Maria, and it's still just as emotional the second time around. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, X-Men 97, episode number 5? Episode number 5, they recreated the Genosha massacre, but they actually made it a little bit more personal with the, like, actually seeing the deaths of the people, and then in the beginning of the episode, it was so happy, it was bubbly, and, like, it was everything that you'd want from a mutant nation. It was
the Hellfire Gala.
Yeah. And right in the middle, then in the middle of all the fun, Cable comes running out telling everyone to leave. There's bombs dropping in the background. He's trying to get everyone to leave. And then all of a sudden he gets pulled back. And then the giant Omega, I wouldn't call it an Omega Sentinel. Maybe like a
no, master, they were Wild Sentinels.
Wild Sentinels came out and then just destroyed everything. It was
straight out of Grant Morrison's new X-Men.
Yeah.
Exactly like the Wild Sentinel.
It was damn good, man.
But apparently it's not Cassandra Nova, which is what I thought. That's what the showrunner came out and said it. They basically said on Twitter, they didn't spoil like the season. They just basically came out on Twitter and says a lot of fans are excited about it being Cassandra Nova, but she's not the person behind this, but I think you all will be excited about the person who is behind it. Is
what who do you think said. Could be behind it then?
Bastion.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They showed Bastion on taking a picture with fucking Forge just 2 episodes ago. Forge had a picture when he was explaining to Storm how he worked for the government, and there was a picture of him with fucking Bastion.
How did I not really recognize him? I probably just thought he was just some random like politician.
So I don't think they showed us that by accident.
That would be dope. I was really hoping it was going to be Cassandra Nova. The only other person I could think about would be Sinister, because I was watching this like one of the little teaser trailers on what happened, like, you know, like midway through the season.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things it said was Sinister going, you have no idea what we have planned for you.
Yeah, I mean, I originally thought it was Cassandra Nova because that's what it was in the books. But I never considered it being Sinister because I don't know why Sinister would do that. Because he wants, like, was there ever a point in the comics book where he just wanted to, like, eliminate mutants? I don't think that's ever been his goal.
I don't believe so either. Only thing I can think of is once the Sentinels have done what they done, like after the Sentinels are finished, it would just be almost like a dead wasteland of mutant DNA. Like he could just
that's true. that is true. I didn't consider that part, but that is absolutely true.
But I don't even know what to really like. It was I'm an emotional person. That's obvious to anybody who knows me. But watching that again, like I still teared up. And then my best friend was like, he was hoping that it wasn't Gambit who died when he saw the title of the episode, Remember It. And I forgot that that was his whole thing in the original series. So his name's mm-hmm. Gambit, Remember It.
Oh, Gambit did. That don't mean he won't come back, but he did right now. Magneto's dead.
I'm wondering, so as we're talking about it, initially I was like, we've seen Cable, so we know time travel is an option. We've seen it in the original X-Men comic book. I mean, the original X-Men series where Cable's come back and changed the future. If I'm not mistaken, more than once. If not him, then Bishop, they both have changed the future more than once. However, now that I'm thinking about it, we've seen the Hellfire Club. Do you think there's any chance we get the 5?
No. They're not doing Krakoa or anything like that on here. In fact, I heard that Boda Mayo wasn't a fan of Krakoa.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't think we're going to get anything. I mean, they did the council type thing, but I think that was just like a little nod to that. But I don't think we're going to get anything in terms of resurrection, at least not anytime soon. I think they've been sticking to stuff around the time period of the show. So I, you know, New X-Men came out in, what, 2000? 2000, like it was like hold not on, far man. From when this show's taking place in continuity. So I imagine they're gonna stay in and around that area. I don't think we're going to, I mean, we might eventually get, but it depends what the MCU is doing, right? Because if the MCU is going to take some Krakoa elements, I don't think we're going to see that at all in animation, because I doubt they're going to have animation and the live action be in the same time period frame, same stories. I don't see imagine seeing that happening.
I'm wondering whether or not this, so now I'm wondering a couple of things. I'm not sure if I said this here on the show, but I know I've written about it, that I think Monica Rambeau ends up in the end of the at the end of the season. I think we see her pop up, and I think the Monica Rambeau that we saw at the end of the Marvels is the same one that we're going to see in X-Men 97, because they're two alternate realities, like the whole thing with like Beast wearing a lab coat and all that other stuff. So I'm wondering if that's the case.
Well, here's the thing with that. I don't think that's unreasonable at all, because you know, they basically turned Monica into a mutant in her last solo series. They basically alluded to that, like, she's had these powers naturally. It wasn't the accident in New Orleans that gave her the powers. She had the powers. And then they were about to say that, you know, this is why you're X, Y, and Z, and they kind of cut it off. But they basically all but said that she's a mutant.
I didn't finish it. I wasn't really feeling it. I think I got to like issue 3 and I just kind of stopped. Maybe it's probably on Marvel Unlimited now, so I'll probably go check it out.
Yeah, it is on Marvel Unlimited.
So my other thing is in Uncanny X-Men, written by, it was Ed Brisson, Kelly Thompson, and Matthew Rosenberg. Towards the end of the series, Emma Frost did something where she erased the idea of mutants across the world. So
here it is. Oh man, they were talking to, Monica was talking to like a version of herself. She said, I hid what I was for so long that I finally felt like it went away until that day. And then the person she's talking to says, what I was, you don't even want to say the word.
Oh shit. Oh okay, thank
and
you.
Then she says, it doesn't matter how I got to be the way I am, does it? I called you because I need to answer a different question about myself. So they're basically saying that, like, she's a mutant and she's been a mutant.
If that's the case, I'm not going to be shocked if she ends up joining the X-Men. Gail Simone talked about the roster that we've seen in the releases of the From the Ashes era that we're going to go, that's coming up in the summer, and she said this isn't even the final roster. So I'm wondering if, because you know Marvel, and I see Marvel and DC, they don't do limited series for no reason. They're trying, like, they're building towards something. With Monica Rambeau being in the MCU and them wanting to, like, make her a more household name, putting her on the X-Men absolutely does that.
Absolutely. You know, particularly when she's in binary form, when Carol was binary, she was on the X-Men.
Yes. Something that people forget. Like, I remember when Carol went to fight Zorn in one of the new Avengers issues, and she couldn't get her shit together. Wolverine went and hugged her and was talking to her. Remember all those times when you was at the mansion? Remember how to bring yourself back? All those times Charles Xavier helped you with your mind. So it would make sense that her mother, who was in who was binary in the movie, Maria Rambeau, would be with the X-Men, because it kind of makes sense, especially with her being black. She would definitely be outcast the same way that Blue Marvel was at the time.
100%. And you know what else? I'm very interested to know in that show. I want to see Cyclops from AVX, that version of Cyclops.
I think we're about to get it.
Yeah, and they gave us that hint in that interview of him getting angry. And I want to see, because in the books, right after Genosha, he started to be like, hey, man, Charles, like, these motherfuckers don't like us. Like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing? Like, he basically, like, he didn't go full on at that point, but it started him down that path.
He did the whole, they hate us because they ain't us thing.
And they had Emma in his fucking head. Cause when he was talking shit to whatever with whatever happened with when Maddie was on the council talking like in the psychically to Cyclops, and then Jean bust in, Emma basically saw all that shit. Like she saw what was going on. So she's getting a part of that. So she might stick her, she might get involved in that shit a little bit too.
Yeah, because it was kind of weird. She was like, indeed. I'm like, oh, Emma, you bitch. But yeah, like, there was so much that went on in that. And I know one of the previews we've seen coming up, Captain America is going to pop up. We don't know what's gonna happen with Rogue. Is she gonna stay in Genosha and kind of help people? I know we did see Nightcrawler and Wolverine together, which I can't wait for. How are Jean and Madeline Pryor gonna coexist? Because there's no way they both don't fight back. Well, Madeline may stay to kind of like help rebuild Genosha, but I'm wondering what's next for everything else. Like, does Cyclops go to Genosha to help? Is he pretty much going to go to the UN? Like, what the fuck are y'all doing?
Is Madeline going to tell Cyclops that Cable is their son?
Yeah. That was the other thing. Because when I seen him running and he went up to Madeline, I was like, oh, that's fucking dope. I'm sorry, Mom. And I was like, oh, he said the thing. You know what I mean? So, but Cable's been one of my favorites for a little bit. And I'm hoping that we see him again. Even if he doesn't fix the future, it would be cool just to see him help maintain the future that we have now.
I thought that, what do we get? Is it 10 episodes? I think it's 10 episodes.
10 episodes.
So we are only halfway through this. Yep. So there's a lot that's going to happen in this second half of the season. It's already been approved for season two. Season two and three?
I believe so.
So I'm pretty sure we're going to get a big ass cliffhanger. And so my prediction, like if this was DraftKings, if we were sponsored by DraftKings, we had to give a bet. My prediction that I would put money on is by the end of this season, Storm will be. She might be the end of the leader of the X-Men within the next two episodes.
Well, that's what the article that should be coming out within the next, like, couple of days, I wrote that what's going to end up happening is she's going to challenge Cyclops for leadership of the X-Men. And I feel like she's going to do it. Even if he doesn't have her powers, I still feel like she's going to do it. Because she's at a point where she's going to see Cyclops becoming Cyclops from AVX, like you said. And she's going to be like, that's not how we do things. What are you doing? What's, like, you know what I mean? So I really think that that's what's going to happen. I think that's the what we're going to get next.
Next episode is Life Death Part 2. So she getting her powers back next episode.
Yeah. Or either that or she just embraces who she is. And she's like, you know what? I don't have my powers. This is just what it is. And I'm okay with it. Like, you know what I mean?
Marvel's not brave enough to do that. People will be way too angry. They got too much goodwill in this show to take a fan favorite and be like, we're going to take the only black woman on the show and take her powers away.
I agree with you, but imagine how dope it would be. This, like, we take the only black woman, we take her powers away, and she's still strong enough to lead the X-Men.
I see what you're saying, but I don't think people would see it that way.
You're not wrong.
Because they were mad already that she lost her power in the second episode, even though she's going to get it back three episodes later.
Two talking points, and one of them we have to mention. Jean kissed Logan and then yelled at Cyclops for talking to his kid's mom. That was wild. And I didn't peep it. I'm watching it with Valkyrie, and she's like, wait. Didn't she just full-on kiss Wolverine? What's she mad at him for? He's just talking to his wife. He's not even, like, his kid's mom, and it's not even like they're, like, having sex or anything. He was just sitting there talking on the bed.
Sorry, I had mute on. It wasn't working. why is nothing working here? But no, I agree. I saw that you put some nonsense in the docket trying to root for Morph and Wolverine to get together.
Yes, I'm here for it. Give it to me. Mm-mm. Morph and Wolverine have definitely got it on. At the very least, Morph wants it. And let me tell you, beyond the fact that like their relationship kind of works on just on a level that like they are close, I want it to happen because I want to see all the angry tears. I want them all. Put them in a cup. I will drizzle them over steak.
It is Why are you being an anarchist?
I'm not being an anarchist. Okay, well, like, I kind of am. But, like, you're it's right. just, you know what it is? And it's, you, apparently I'm petty. My wife been calling me petty for years. When I was writing for a movie pilot, I did an article on LGBTQ plus relationships. And one of them was Wolverine and Hercules from an alternate reality. And this person just hated it. Oh my God, they wanted to fight. And it was just this whole like, it never happened. And I'm like, I literally gave you an issue to go look at. And it's like, and ever since then, I'm like, you know what? Fuck y'all. It's like, what are you mad for? Like, fun fact, Wolverine and Cyclops have been fucking since Krakoa. At the very least.
That's not, that is not what they alluded to. They alluded to that they're in a polyamorous situation.
Let me tell you, at the very least, Wolverine and Cyclops have watched the other person have sex with Jean. At the very least, that's happened.
Well, no, not even at the very least, because their homes or pods were connected, but they weren't all living in the same pod.
They were living in the same place.
No, they were connected.
Ah, shenanigans.
It's like a town. Like, I live in a townhouse. Technically, I live in the same place as my neighbor, but I don't actually live in the same place as my neighbor.
I am calling full-fledged shenanigans.
What they alluded to is that they are in a mutual polyamorous relationship. They did not allude to Cyclops and Wolverine being together.
Wolverine is over 150 years old, and he is completely happy in his sexuality. And they've gotten it on. I'm telling you, they have. Look, man, I know what I saw. I know what I see. I'm standing by it, and I'm here for it. I am absolutely here for it. And
nonsense.
Plus, if we're being completely honest about it, Morph doesn't have a sex. He was born a blob. He was literally just a blob. And on top of that, but Morph is non-binary. So they were born a blob. They're born like what, and they feel the way they feel. So, you know what I mean? I'm here for it. In all jokes aside, I'm making jokes, but I think it would be, I don't think it'd be that far-fetched for it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I am rooting for it because I want to see these people who don't understand that things like this happen. I want them to be angry because maybe they'll accept that, hey, maybe I'm wrong about things. But
why can't you just root for Wolverine to get Jean?
I don't want him with Jean. I don't think I want Wolverine and Jean is not the relationship I want. I want Wolverine and Storm. That's the relationship that actually works. Wolverine, Storm and T'Challa.
Trying to sell out our black queen to a white man.
Oh, God.
Typical.
Storm and T'Challa did not work. It was forced and stupid, and I didn't like it.
Yeah, that was horrible. She shouldn't be with T'Challa. She's a queen. She don't need to be subservient to anybody.
Oh, and she wasn't with Wolverine. She stayed checking Wolverine. There was a moment during Wolverine the X-Men where Storm's going off. She's pissed off and da-da-da. And she's walking down the hallway, and Logan goes, hey, why don't we go to the showers and work off some of that aggression? And she was like, I have class in 10 minutes. Logan goes, okay, I'll skip the floor play. She goes, you absolutely will not.
Trying to sell out our queen to a white devil.
Wolverine beat the devil, so technically no.
She got her a nice indigenous man that can create anything that comes to his mind. And you want to sell her out to an old, grumpy 150.
Damn it, Wade!
With a small man's complex who's in love with a white woman. That's what you want for our black queen.
Oh,
I just want the people to know that. That's what you want for our black queen.
You really going to do this to me? You going to get me canceled on Twitter?
You said it, not me. You said it.
Of all the relationships Storm's been in, the one that hasn't been toxic is Wolverine. All the other relationships have been toxic except for the one she had with Wolverine.
Yeah, but still, I don't care if it's toxic.
I also wonder, next time we do, next time, the next season, if they start killing off the X-Men, will we get new X-Men? Will it be like new X-Men 97, or will it be like new X-Men 98? Like, you know what I mean? Like, Roberto da Costa was brought in. Are we about to get Cannonball and Magic? We've seen Magic. Morph changed into her. So we know she
exists. Pretty sure it's going to be a continuation of what we are, but they're going to cycle through characters like the X comic books did. We're going to get some of those characters that you want as main characters, but I think they're going to do a cycle through type thing. Like, somebody's going to leave. I guarantee you by the end of the season, somebody's going to leave, and they're going to be like, it's probably going to be Cyclops, would be my guess. Mm-hmm. If I were to bet that Cyclops is going to leave the team at the end of the season, and Storm's going to take over, and she's going to bring on some new people. And then next season, you're going to see some new characters.
I'm hoping for two teams. I'm hoping for a more militant X-Men led by Cyclops and, a Jean Grey school of mutants led by either Storm or Wolverine.
So, Javi, now you're back.
Yeah.
And Brandon told me to wait for you for this because he wants to hear your reaction. Comic book characters that would apologize during a rap beef.
So he's perfect for Javi.
Oh man, yo, I just want you to know that, like, is it a little too soon, bro, for that? Like, my heart's a little hurt.
On the list.
By the way, Javi, I did a podcast on Saturday or Sunday, with my homegirl Chanel, and we hadn't talked in a while, and she wanted to take time to talk about all these rap beasts, right? And because I didn't know any of the backstories behind them, because I'm an old man and I don't know any of this shit. And she started explaining like everything behind me, and I said, "This is the most Gen Z fight between millennials that I've ever seen." She's like, "You're a millennial," and I was like, "Yes, that's why I'm ashamed. This is so Gen Z." And then, because I know this is a comic book show. Just I'll wrap this up. And then yesterday, saw what Rick Ross did, and then I was like, "Oh, I'm in. This is hilarious."
Wait, hilarious. I know we can't get into it, but I'm gonna let you smoke on that. I'm gonna let you ride on that. No Diddy, but
then I started laughing. I was like, "Oh, I'm in. That's fucking funny." But yeah, go on the list, old man.
Magneto. Yeah.
Hell no.
Magneto.
Oh, he would definitely not apologize.
Hell no.
This is new Magneto at the resurrection of the X-Men. Magneto.
Fuck no. He'll think.
Even
no,
that
he'll,
Magneto.
He'll think about apologizing. He'll have a whole like inner monologue about, man, I should be a better man about this. But then at the end of the day, he's gonna destroy his enemies in the most brutal way possible, and just look at Storm and be like, you know what I did?
Tim Drake.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's definitely absolutely. Yeah. And I love Tim Drake, but absolutely.
Yeah. Blue Beetle. Which one? Either one.
Ted Kord is an asshole. So yeah. I don't think he would apologize.
He's petty god. He'd be Rick Ross in this.
Yeah. Jaime, yes.
Jaime's definitely doing it.
Jaime definitely would.
Raven. She's an empath. She's gonna be like, I shouldn't have done that.
If she's wearing white, yes. If she's wearing black and purple, hell no.
Yeah, it depends on what mood she's in.
Yeah.
Raven might be somebody you don't want to go against in a rap battle if she's in the wrong mood.
No, hell no.
You got me there. Cyborg is J. Cole.
I'm not gonna lie to you. My favorite version of Teen Titans is the Teen Titans Go Teen Titans. So, the Teen Titans Go Cyborg. I feel like him and Beast Boy would have an epic rap battle, and they'll eat like burritos afterwards. So I think they'll finish it, but it'd be like it'd be good. They'll finish the beef. They won't ask for forgiveness.
Superman, Clark or John, both of them would apologize.
Yes. Oof.
I mean we did see Injustice.
We ain't talking about Injustice. We ain't talking
But I'm talking about, yo, let somebody talk about his wife. It's a rap. It's a rap. He's going full 50 Cent, bro.
Can you imagine Superman doing hit him up to Lex Luthor?
That's what I'm saying. Just don't talk about, just keep Lois out the beef. Just keep Lois out the beef, and we
actually
good.
Actually, wouldn't Lex Luthor be the Tupac, and Superman would be Biggie?
Damn.
fuck your bitch in the paper she write for.
I think Lex would be 50 Cent, and Superman would be Rick Ross.
Yeah, because Lex Luthor
Superman don't got Rick Ross in him. He don't got that type of.
Yo, all Lex Luthor's gonna be like, yo, Mr. Officer.
Mr. Justice League.
Mr. Justice League.
Sentry, not the Void. Sentry.
Sentry's apologizing because he got something. Yes. He his anxiety or whatever.
He's definitely apologizing.
Yeah.
For the good of everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Matter of fact, whoever's beefing with him better apologize because
you know what's funny?
It takes a little bit for that Void to come out as a rap.
Yo, the Void wrote the diss track and wrote and performed a diss track, and the Sentry apologized.
The Void is you saying the Void is Sentry's ghostwriter?
Yeah.
Sentry.
Iceman.
Mr. Bobby.
It depends who he's beefing with.
Yeah. He's snappy though. He's snappy though. I feel like
so is J. Cole.
Nah, yo, listen, I don't want to talk about J. Cole right now.
And last on this list, Huey Campbell.
At what point in the story?
I mean, does it really matter?
Yes.
I don't think his character development was definitely
Doug. He was still apologizing to Butcher like years later. Did y'all read the 6-part miniseries they did after that?
No.
He's still scared of Butcher, and he's dead.
Yeah. Who we got some big simp energy, bro. He's definitely apologizing.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call it simp energy. It just seems very, God, I can't believe he's definitely a simp. It's very stereotypical Canadian. It's like, fuck you, I'm sorry.
I mean, but Drake's Canadian. That dude ain't apologizing to nobody.
No, he just goes to Texas and has somebody tell him to squash the beef because he was losing. Anyway, who else would be on this list that I didn't mention?
That would apologize?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question.
Jubilee?
Well, they don't necessarily have to apologize. It'd be like if they would or not. Like, so I think Mystique.
Nah.
Mystique would be a killer. Mystique would be a killer. She wouldn't apologize. She'd be a killer.
Mystique's a killer. Emma
I think Wolverine would apologize because I think he's a bit best analogy to J. Cole. Like he has the skills to kill, but he has a big old heart. You know what I mean? Like
yeah, but Wolverine actually kills people.
Man, J. Cole.
Oh man,
Jermaine Cole.
You know who J. Cole is? J. Cole is Cyclops in the 90s.
Damn,
he's J. Cole. You know what? It's funny. There's a transition. J. Cole is Cyclops pre-apocalypse, and Kendrick is Cyclops post-apocalypse.
I'm not even calling him J. Cole anymore. I'm going to call him Jermaine.
Yeah. Before we move on to the next topic, since before my battery dies because my fucking power went out for no reason, Javi, do you have any thoughts on the previous episode of X-Men 97? We talked about...
Do I have any thoughts?
The way your voice went up.
What? Yo, that was great. One, I don't think it's Cassandra Nova. I mean, spoiler alert to like a 80-year-old story. I'm thinking it's Bastion. I've heard that around. Makes sense, I think, given what Cable said.
Yeah, we talked about that. The showrunner.
What did Cable say that I might have missed?
He mentioned the guy. He mentioned he said a male.
He told Madeline that he's coming. He's coming.
He's coming. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? We talked about this while you were taking care of your child because you are a great father. And one of the things that was said, like you said, Javi, like he's coming. And it has to be a major character to be like, he's coming. Apocalypse could do it only because it's like only the strong survive. Yeah. So if you survive,
Apocalypse would never use the Sentinel though to do that.
He's too
I feel like Apocalypse would use Sentinels only because he could say something along the lines of, I use human tools you should be able to defeat human tools. Like, I could see him saying something like that.
If you spark a war between humanity and humans too, like something like that. I think the main reason why I'm thinking Bastion though is just because Friends of Humanity and Sentinels have been the big bad, really. Yeah. Like, you know, so it makes sense to me, especially if we're gonna get some future shenanigans, some time travel shenanigans. It makes sense. Gambit, Mr. Remy, like, bro, like, I used to play, what was it, the Sega Genesis game, X-Men Children of the Atom, right? And you can play as either Cyclops, Wolverine,
Nightcrawler,
Gambit, and then Magneto, right? And then, like, playing with Gambit.
If you're talking about that one, then there's Psylocke was in it. Beast.
And I remember playing with Gambit, and just the Gambit character as a kid always seemed like an awesome character, like super acrobatic, like does awesome things with his little bow stick or whatever, like flipping, like all this crazy stuff that just made your imagination go crazy. And seeing him just go ham like that during that episode, like, really brought me back to like how I imagined him as a child. Right. And I think that's what this show does. The show creator even talks about how he's trying to like take people on like a journey, right? Yeah. Through his storytelling. And bro, that episode just had everything, bro. Like it had the action, had the pathos, right? Like, I mean, I'm a G, so I ain't cry. My name ain't Jermaine, you know what I mean? But it was tough watching that scene with
I cried. Jean Grey. Straight up and down, I cried.
Yeah, it was tough watching that scene with Rogue saying that she can't feel him. Like, it was just a lot happened in that episode. Like, I felt like the episode was an hour.
Some bullshit that episode.
Nah. The only person on some bullshit that episode was Jean Grey.
Rogue and Jean were on some bullshit that episode.
Yo, she
basically said, "Yeah, I love you, Gambit, but I just realized you can't touch me, so." Fuck you. And then she puts on the sexiest dress she's ever worn in her life for somebody else. She parades around in front of Gambit, rubbing it into his face, kisses the dude, and then tells that dude who's getting excited, yeah, I like the other dude that I just told I don't like.
Well, to be
fair, she never said that she didn't like him. She was in her feelings, and which is understandable. Before we move on, I want to say one thing that I love was someone on Twitter said that Gambit is the perfect example of how a man should react. It's if their girlfriend doesn't, or someone they love doesn't like them back. You accept that what it is. You leave as friends and you move on.
Yeah, Gambit is like he was a G that whole episode. That whole episode, Gambit was probably he was the best character.
Everyone had their moment in this, and I love that Gambit continued to just show it. Like, he was great in the original series. Between him and Cyclops, I think, who were the two of the best characters in the original X-Men, the animated series, they both continue to be great characters going forward. Mm-hmm. Moving on, something I want to talk about before the power of my laptop dies, I want to discuss the X-Men teams and lineups and stuff like that. So Eve Ewing is writing a series called Exceptional X-Men. Kitty Pryde and Emma Frost will train the next generation of mutants after Kate comes across new mutants Bronze, Axo, and Melee. Eve Ewing says longtime fans of Kitty Pryde can now count on the kinds of adventures you expect from her classic favorite, while I hope new and old readers alike will get to love all new team of young mutants. We're going to read this because it's the X-Men. I love Eve Ewing's work, so I'm all in. Her short run of Black Panther was exceptional, no pun intended. But she's become a name I can trust when it comes to writing comic books. What do you guys think?
Yeah, she's been doing her thing, bro. Like, every time I hear her associated with a comic book, I don't think I've read a lot of her stuff, but just based off what you guys have been saying, like, I'm impressed.
Brandon, any thoughts?
We'll see when we get there.
Yeah. next up, we have...
You talking about Exceptional X-Men?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. They got new characters that we don't even know about.
Gail Simone.
I only care about one character in that team. So don't matter.
So we also have Gail Simone, who I love, who did Batgirl and Deadpool, is in charge of Uncanny X-Men. Their team is Wolverine, Gambit, Rogue, Nightcrawler, and Jubilee. As I mentioned to Brandon earlier, she says this isn't the final roster. There was a report saying that she's going to put out 8 comic books this year. And since the series starts in July, that's about at least two issues a month till the end of the year. And I love it because now it kind of seems that comic books aren't really on a set 1 issue a month schedule, which is great because now other writers don't necessarily have to wait to do the things they're doing. Cause like, all right, well, we have a plan. We're going to do it. It needs to be done by this time. So I like that. What do you guys think of this new roster and this new book and the writer?
Is it a new roster? I mean, it's a rearrangement. What it reminds me of? It reminds me of X-Men, like blue and gold, red and gold, essentially.
Yeah, there was a blue one. There was a blue one too. It was a blue. Yeah, blue, red, and gold.
Yeah, blue, red, and gold.
Yeah.
It seems random, honestly.
Magneto looks old as fuck.
Oh, that was a hold on. That was that's the next
that's
one.
That's a different team.
But I will say this: I don't know if we've actually seen all of. I don't know if we've seen all of them on the same team without somebody like Cyclops and Storm. So that's the one thing I'm excited for, to see Rogue in a leadership position. And everybody on this roster has a ton of respect for each other. So that's something else I'm looking forward to. Wolverine and Gambit's relationship is they're friends, but they kind of like there's always a competition between them. I can't wait to see that. Well, and I'm also pumped that I get to see Wolverine and Jubilee together again because it's been a while since we've seen that. So I'm all for it.
I want to see Jubilee shine in that. I want to see her. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say like in the trailer for this series, Jubilee her powers look a little more aggressive than we've seen. Mm-hmm. She destroyed a SUV in a giant X in it, and I was like, oh. You're finally flexing. About damn time.
Okay. Yeah, that's
something we saw in the Mojoverse, the Motendoverse, when old Jubilee came in, and she was showing her things like this is the things you can be and should be doing with your powers, and it's about damn time. Lastly, we have Jed McKay, who I love, who's currently writing Avengers and giving us characters that no one cares about and making them stars. And I'm not talking about the Avengers roster. No one cares about these like random robot, like King Arthur characters. Like, why do I care about them? But he's made it work. So that's super dope.
But this X-Men squad, like this is the X-Men squad that I'm most excited about.
Yeah. So
and not just cause Cyclops, but this
Cyclops, Beast, Juggernaut, Temper, who's formerly Oya, Psylocke, Kid Omega, Magic, and Magneto, who's apparently in a floating wheelchair.
And you say Juggernaut too, right?
Yeah, I did. If I didn't, then Juggernaut too. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a squad, bro. That's a squad right there, bro.
Like, Uncanny X-Men tends to be the like A book, but this seems like the A roster. And the whole theme with this is like they're in Alaska, and it's kind of like this is where mutants are gonna be, where they can live and exist without persecution.
Oh, they're going to kill a lot of people, too. Just with having Magic and Psylocke on the same squad.
Yeah. And they're hinting towards a Psylocke and Cyclops relationship, which I'm here for. Brandon, do you have any thoughts?
These teams are white as fuck.
only two of them have a token black person. There's...
I'm glad, and also I'm glad Storm's not in on any of the teams. She's actually getting her own book, but yeah. I like to see other black characters get some shine or non-white characters.
Well, we have you know the actual Psylocke, right? I think that's a Japanese Psylocke.
Quanon.
Quanon.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, Jubilee.
But also,
where's Prodigy? Where's fucking?
I'm glad you brought that up.
Frenzy.
I'm glad
Cecilia
you brought
Reyes.
That up. Prodigy is actually on the NYX team, which is full of the people.
That's what I'm most interested in. NYX.
I'm glad you brought up Frenzy, Brandon. Like,
hold on. So we got Laura Kinney, Kamala Khan, Sophie from the Stepford Cuckoos, Anol and Prodigy in NYX. And I think this is the perfect roster for an NYX squad. This is perfect. I have no issues with this, and I can't wait to see where it goes. X-Force. Javi, I think you'll appreciate this a little bit more. The X-Force roster is going to be led by Forge, and the whole thing is Forge says that the world is broken and he knows how to fix it, and the way to fix it is with X-Force. So right now, the roster...
That sounds like Hank McCoy.
So the roster is Rachel Summers, Betsy Braddock, Sage, Surge, and somebody named Tank. And each time they go out on a mission, I guess, there's going to be like a rotating special guest. And the first guest is Deadpool, which makes sense because of his connections with X-Force. Mm-hmm. And you are right, that does seem very Hank McCoy. But Forge is a Nichols... Forge is like a pubic hair away from being Beast anyway. We've always known that.
That's literally his power set, right? Like, he sees something, he knows how to fix it. But yeah, it does sound kind of...
Yeah, he's done it before. If there was an... After... He Who Shall Not Be Named Astonishing X-Men run, someone else did Astonishing X-Men, and one of the things was Forge was trying to fix everything, and he essentially went crazy. It was an awful run. It was very, very bad. But this is something he's tried to do before, so it wouldn't be shocking if he became very much like the Hank McCoy that we've seen before. They haven't announced the X-Factor creative team. They haven't announced Storm's creative team. Phoenix is going to be written by Stephanie Phillips, who wrote Spider-Gwen, the Ghost Spider. She says that it's a cosmic ballet of that shows how beautiful the Phoenix Force can be when working in tandem with Jean Grey. I'm moderately excited by this. I'm going to pick it up only because I'd like to see Jean Grey across the universe.
Yeah. Like, for me, it depends on how deep they get into like the cosmic.
I'm excited about it. I have a feeling it's going to be like that Dan Slott Silver Surfer, which I never finished. But what I read of it was amazing.
It's like that, then yeah, definitely.
Of all these books, I think that NYX is going to be the sleeper. I think that's going to be the one that people don't realize how great it is until it's over. It's going to be the Marvels of this. And they're going to be like, oh, I wish I would have read this from the beginning. And we're all going to be like, yeah, I wish you did too. But yeah, that's what I got for the new stuff. Comic book news. We can just kind of breeze through this. Wolverine loses his healing factor again. Who cares? It's happened a million times. So get his healing factor back. I like it. Oh, I like it in this only because we know he's going to get his healing factor back quickly because of the stuff that's been going on with Orcus, and he clearly has a healing factor. And it's kind of cool just because it gives Sabretooth an advantage during the Sabretooth War, which has been flawless thus far. Javi, Magneto is back and he's better than ever.
Yo, I love this book. So we're talking about Resurrection of Magneto.
Good that I said to my therapist, I was like, you need to buy this because there's a lot of really deep moments throughout this.
Yeah, and it's a real like it's actually the redemption arc that I don't think we've gotten with Magneto. Like, he changes, so he's changed so much throughout, you know, his entire run as a character, and I love how it started with him really having to come to terms with the decisions he's made throughout his life. The lives he's taken, because he's been the supervillain before. You know, he's killed people, like lots
people
of.
People still look at him as a supervillain, and he hasn't been that in shit close to it. Probably about over a decade.
True, but again, he's killed a lot of freaking people.
It's clearly not going to last that long, though.
I don't know.
If you look at Magneto and Jed McKay's X-Men, this in Resurrection of Magneto, he comes back a young, spry, new man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Jed McKay X-Men, he looks like he's 700 years old.
Yeah, he does.
So what the fuck happened?
I've been on record saying that I think he's the one who saves the day. And I think because of all the energy he exerts after that, I think it paralyzes him.
Yeah, he's going crazy right now. He's doing stuff like he's very reckless at this point. Right now he's doing things. He stated in Resurrection of X-Men that he's not afraid to die right now. Like, yeah. and he's proven that. So
also I have to say that Bip book pissed me off, old man.
Which one?
The last issue of Resurrection of Magneto.
Why so?
Because they try to convince me that Blue Marvel can't take down a fucking Sentinel.
It's
get the fuck out of here.
That did kind of rub me the wrong way, but I also understand it considering that like I wrote an article about this. Comic book and wrestling are essentially the same thing. So if you want to make someone look good, you got to have them beat the biggest and the baddest. And Blue Marvel is one of the biggest and the baddest. So
But also these aren't normal. I mean, I get it. I get it. But these Sentinels have the same rider jutsu that Iron Man has. They're literally Iron Man armor, like giant Iron Man sets of armor, right? Created by somebody that's almost as smart as Tony Stark. They were built with every countermeasure that Tony Stark has ever thought of for every hero on Earth ever. So yeah. I mean, it's BS in a lot of ways, but it kind of makes sense. Yeah. I think Blue Marvel essentially, like old man said, not even just to beat the best. I think he's a way to kind of really show just how powerful Magneto and Storm is, right? Like he's probably one of the few characters that you can kind of like use as a measuring stick for like at least Omega level mutants, right? Also, I think with the way Fall of X is going is showing that mutants actually do need humanity. And again, he's probably one of the few humans that could stand toe to toe with two of the most powerful Omega level mutants. So from a storytelling standpoint, it makes sense. I was thinking the same way. Everybody knows, like, Blue Marvel might be my favorite character in comic books. So him, you know, just the bullshit countermeasures they used to stop him, like, it was kind of crazy, but I get it.
Brandon, you switched it off. You want to talk about the House of Brainiac?
Yeah, man, I don't read a lot of DC, but this Superman thing has got me hooked.
Yo, Superman in Action Comics has been perfect for at least a year now, and I'm all here for it. And this House of Brainiac shit looks insane.
And now Brainiac's taking all the super people. Instead of putting cities in the bottle, he's putting these people in their own bottles and fucking with them.
Yep.
It's not his, a problem.
His thing has, he said, Javi, I don't know if you read it or not, but he said, Brainiac said, if knowledge is power, then power is knowledge. And Metropolis has the most powerful beings, has the biggest cluster of power in the universe. So he just starts taking, like, all of Superman's family and all his villains who are in like jail, and he's like balling them up because, you know, it's wait, because it's a turn of a phrase, and I kind of like it. And he grabbed Brainiac variants from across their multiverse, and mm-hmm. I don't know if the Lobos that we've seen are just hidden versions of them from that universe, or if they cross the multiverse to get them. But this is, you want to find some way to like fight Superman, you're battling him now on an intellectual level as well as a physical level. This was a really smart move, and it's going to cross over, I think, 5 or 6 different issue comic books, and among them is Green Lantern. So it's like, well, spoot, now I gotta start reading Green Lantern and figure out what I missed.
DC events are always awesome. That's when I tend to read them. And I think Brainiac is probably one of the most formidable enemies that you can have, just the way, like, his power set, which is essentially he's just smarter than everybody else. I might take a look at that. I haven't read it. Like, as you guys know, I haven't read a lot of DC lately, but I'll check it out.
So before my power goes out, what are we reading? Brandon, you want to start with this?
Yeah, I'm almost finished 8 Billion Genies. I took a long break, but I started reading again last night. I'm on issue 7, so I got 7 to 8. I think it's 8 issues, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I got 7 to 8 left. Man, this story takes a turn as they start going through the years. Yeah, one of the you happy for a while, but then you realize, like, people taking advantage of good people, and it gets real deep. So I'm into this. I can't wait. I'm going to finish it tonight. I'm excited about finishing the story.
One of the things I love about this is like the look at a real look at how humanity would act. And my favorite, and I'm not going to spoil anything about this, but how a person reacts when they haven't used the wish after a while.
I've gotten to that point. Yeah.
I'm not going to say this for people who haven't read it, but like, I guess it's a fairly new independent comic book. But the idea of what happens when someone doesn't use a wish for a while, it makes sense. And you're also starting to see how things react when you get people in power who become manipulative, and how they, at one point, someone finds a way to have people barter for their wishes. And it's like, oh, you guys turned this into a corporation. And it's super, it's a deep comic book. It's a real good look at humanity as a whole. And I think it's dope. Superbook, what you got?
So I was going back and forth. I think the last thing I wrote was Resurrection of Magneto, but we just talked about that. So Incredible Hulk has been really good lately. Like to the point where it's back to being essentially a horror book, which I think they started with Immortal Hulk. Yes. And they're taking it up a notch now. He's fighting literal monsters. And somebody with Hulk's power set, like you need characters that make it seem like he could lose. And that's what they're doing, even though he's been tearing through them. But the last issue, he actually confronted Lucifer Morningstar, the actual devil. Exactly. I've never seen that. I don't know if I've ever seen that in Marvel. I didn't even know he was a character in Marvel.
Daniel Way did a Ghost Rider series where the actual devil is on Earth, and he is such an asshole.
Yeah.
That's the only time I've seen like the devil on Earth. I know Wolverine beat a devil. I don't know if it was the devil.
But that's usually what it is, like Mephisto and all these other
characters. Oh, no, like characters. It seemed like the Christian version of Satan. But you know how it is. It could be many devils.
Especially in Marvel, like there's a lot of characters that pretend to be Lucifer, right? And they end up being
there's an issue of Deadpool team up where he teams up with Satana, and the writer makes it look like all the devils of hell are D&D nerds.
Essentially, right? Because that's essentially what they are. They're all like cosplayers. They're all cosplaying Satan. But the actual one showed up and he kind of put his dick on the table and told Hulk to, don't step to me or there'll be problems. And that's the first time I ever really seen the Hulk kind of speechless. So I'm very excited to see where this goes. It's going somewhere deep.
I'm not sure if I talked about Sex Criminals already, but I'm doing a reread of that. But I want to talk about that in full once I'm finished with it. I've been reading War of the Realms. I usually read my favorite crossovers once a year, and War of the Realms is one of my favorites. And two things about this always get me is Jason Aaron making a conclusion of something that he had been doing for like 5 years and incorporating Unworthy Thor, the Jane Foster run, King Thor, and all the other stuff, and just like kind of bringing it all back together again. With Russell Dodderman being this fantastic artist, it's amazing. And I'm also going through some of the the tie-ins with it. And Carol Danvers in Strike Force, War Avengers, like coming to terms with the fact that she couldn't be like an Avenger. She needed to be like a captain or a colonel. She was just kind of like, I need to do this. And that was super dope. The Land of the Giants, where Luke Cage, Iron Fist, Captain America, Spider-Man, and Wolverine were going to find Thor. And it was funny, it was brutal, but it was also kind of cool to have people remember that while Wolverine does kind of pick on Spider-Man, he has a lot of respect for him as like a friend and a warrior, and they kind of hate each other, but they also really do love each other. And at one point, Spider-Man goes, "Hey, Logan, why'd you give me this helmet?" He goes, "Oh, it was the funniest thing that I could find." He goes, "We're going to a place a dark, cold place, and I gave you a helmet with protection for your neck and the sun. He goes, it was just hilarious to me. Spider-Man's like, I liked you better when you were dead.
Yeah, I was gonna mention, like, my weirdly favorite part about that run was definitely Spider-Man with the Viking helmet.
Yeah, but it was kind of cool because, like, it ended up working out and being used for a reason. Mm-hmm. But going through it again and seeing everything that Malekith did and the whole, like, idea that, like, now there's 10 realms instead of 9 realms. And one of my three favorite moments was where the angels going, why won't they grovel and submit? And Okoye goes, we have no word for grovel, but we have 23 words for fight. Welcome to Wakanda. And that was just a hell of a moment. And then I forget which Asgardian said it, but she was pissed off. She goes to Sif, you knew this place was here the entire time and you left us in the Bronx?
The fun fact, we find that Thor's sister was actually at one point Spawn's love interest.
Yep. And Angela.
Yep. Just pretty cool. Like, that's a very interesting story. Like, the comic book business as well.
Really funny story about Angela. She was a Guardian of the Galaxy, and somebody was on a radio, and it was like, Angela, I love you. And Angela responds, Rocket, you're too short for me. And then Gamora goes, it's me, Gamora. She goes, oh, I'll think about it. I loved it.
Jason Aaron Thor run was probably like that's like a top 10 run of all time.
I agree. I know people, and it's funny because people hate Jason Aaron, and I'm like, do you guys hate Jason Aaron? Do you guys just hate people who write characters with death?
Oh, and thing is, they also call him a little like woke, you know, like he's part of the people that hate the woke folk crowd. So
yeah,
he makes the right people angry. So
I'm good with that. A great Thor moment during the Jason Aaron run was when Nick Fury was the Watcher, and he goes, Thor goes, if you know me so well, what did I have for breakfast? And Nick Fury goes, alcohol and self-loathing.
don't forget Superior Spider-Man tie-in was also dope.
Oh man, that was
crazy, bro.
I'm still mad that they ended that series, and I actually stopped when I found out it was ending. I stopped because it was watching Otto Octavius become a better person, and then just like not even just a better person, a better hero, mm-hmm. and understanding like why people considered him a villain. Was top notch, and I was like, "All right, you guys did your damn thing," and I'm really happy about that.
I feel like they're trying to do that with this new Superior Spider-Man run, but it's not hitting. It's not hitting the way I need it to hit.
Which one? It's not what I wanted. It's good. I'm enjoying it. Let me rephrase. I was enjoying it until the end of the last issue, and I'm like, "This is stupid."
Yeah, I don't know what they're trying to do with it. To be honest with you,
Brandon, tell everybody where they can find you.
I'm doing the Why So Serious podcast is back. We're live streaming on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. So, but try to go on YouTube if you're listening, because we need to get some subscribers on there. Although people are watching on Facebook, on Twitter. So that's actually been fun. And I also doing a podcast called the We Was Watching podcast, which is also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well.
Yo, Brandon, if you want to have a real conversation about the current going-ons in the hip-hop beef world, hit me up, bro.
Yeah.
Because you said a lot of reckless things earlier that I need to respond to.
Brandon, if you want to have a real conversation about hip-hop and the going-ons about what's happening, don't invite me. I don't care. This is one of the worst fact beefs I've ever seen in my life. From major people, this is just, to me, this is just bad, and I just do.
That's why I said it's the Gen Z rap beef.
That's so crazy.
God. With millennials,
but you like Rick Ross mentioning BBLs?
I liked Rick Ross putting a picture of a white man on the cover of his song. I thought that was hilarious. I thought that was real petty.
And I like petty. This is just not good.
That was petty. The other stuff was, I mean, the stuff with Drake, man, to get to showing text from your mama, like, you can't tell me that's not Gen Z. And I'll tie this up really quick. I read an article yesterday in Business Insider, you should go read it, that the number one job, so like other, you know, in past generations, people wanted to be doctors and lawyers and athletes and, you know, things like that, scientists, whatever. Do you know what the number one job, like, for Gen Z and the generation after that is? What? Influencer. That's the number one job that they want to be, influencers. And number two is YouTubers. I think that, like, explains this rap beef 100%.
In Gen X, probably the number one job Gen Xers wanted was to be a VJ on MTV.
And no, it was a doctor.
The number one job for millennials was a barista making avocado toast.
Right? No, ours, no, they have the list for that, Javi. Yeah, ours was lawyer.
Who made this lawyer? Who I'm asking you a question. Who made that list, and how do you find out that data? Like, who are you asking?
Easy. They do the same way they do anything else.
Yeah.
Also, you think that's far-fetched?
Let me see that data, bro.
Hold on.
No, I don't think
it's far-fetched. I know old man doesn't care, but I think old man would agree with me on this.
I don't think it's far-fetched.
You think it's far-fetched that Gen Z wants to be influencers? You think that's like a thing you want to dispute?
No, I don't, but I'm trying to think of the age of Gen Zers, and I think anybody under the age of 25 is an idiot. No offense.
Okay, now you're going far. I wasn't even going to go that far.
It's true, though.
I wasn't even going to go that far.
But that also includes every other generation that was once 25, including mine.
This has been the Old Man Wade Show. Super woke.
Yo.
The second to last boss.
Final boss.
No, he's a boss after the final boss. He's a Kuma.
Yeah, you only get the branding if you've actually beaten everybody without losing a round.
Exactly.
Otherwise, Brandon ain't wasting his time.
Then you get wrecked.
Yeah, I'm picturing Brandon with that with the what the fuck is the dude's name? The James Franco, the meme where the gif where he's like, you? And he's kind of looking at him with disgust. he's not even, he's like, you lost to who? No. I'm not getting out of bed for this.
Y'all are crazy, bro.
Oh man. As always, be excellent to each other. Peace.
Peace.
Bald. Black. No! Bald. Black. Bald. Black. Black.
Nerd. Nerd.
Ball. Black.
Ball.
Black.
Ball.
Black.
Damn it, Wade.